Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the AVB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the Authorized Version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God Israel.
I, the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, will begin with a reading coming from the word of the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. All things, the law concerning God. The Gentiles' response in light of all things, Hosea 8:2. Our God, Lord Tommy L. Hart, we, the Gentiles, know thee. And this is not only with the Gentiles, black people as well, other people can know the true God, the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, by all things. Genesis 44:20, John 18:35. We said to my Lord, Tommy L. Hart, what hast thou done? Genesis 44:21, Mark 10:20, 1 Corinthians 14:40. Our Lord, Tommy L. Hart, said to his servants, I have observed or fulfilled all things written below. I have done all things decently and in order. Now, the reading of all things. 1 Corinthians 4:5, when the Lord comes, he will bring to light the hidden things. It is done. I have done that. I have come and done that. Psalm 145:19, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Romans 9:28, the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. John 4:25, when he is come, he will tell us, the people, his servants even, all things. It is done. John 14:26, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever the word of God has said to you. It is done. 2 Timothy 2:7, the Lord give thee understanding in all things. It is done. 1 Corinthians 2:11, God knows the things concerning God that are in the Bible. It is true. Psalm 44:21, gee, the Lord God knows the secrets of the heart of the Authorized Version Bible, the AVB. It is truth. Romans 2:16, God shall judge or point out the secrets of men. It is done. Isaiah 3:17, the Lord will discover their secret parts. It is done. Speaking about the secret parts, the secret things that are in the Authorized Version Bible. John 7:17, he shall know of the doctrine concerning God and the people. Job 34:25 and Job 36:9, he, the Lord, knows their works. He shows them their work. It is done. John 9:21, he shall speak for himself. It is done. Job 12:22, he discovers deep things contained in the AVB. It is done. Job 28:11, he brings forth things hid in the AVB. It is done. Daniel 2:22, he reveals the deep and secret things that are in that are hidden in the AVB. It is done. Daniel 2:29, he that reveals secrets maketh known to thee the people what shall come to pass. He makes known his judgments. It is done. John 16:13, he, the Lord, will show you things to come. Speaking about the judgments, things that are to take place once and when he comes. It is done. Isaiah 40:1, he brings forth judgment to the Gentiles. It is done. Isaiah 53:11, he brings forth the Gentiles' iniquity. It is done. Isaiah 30:18, the Lord is a God of judgment. It is truth. Job 37:4, his voice is heard. It is truth. Men hear the voice of the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. Proverbs 2:6, the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. It is truth. Hosea 8:13, he will remember there the Gentiles' iniquity. It is done. Hosea 9:9, he will visit there the Gentiles' sin. It is done. Psalm 53:6, God brings back the captivity of his people. It is done. Psalm 14:7, the Lord brings back the captivity of his people. It is done. Psalm 98:2, the Lord has made known his salvation. It is done. Psalm 98:2, he has openly showed his righteousness. It is done. Psalm 37:6, he, the Lord, shall bring forth thy, the Gentiles' righteousness, the people's righteousness. It is done. That is done in God's submitting the law concerning the Lord God and the people to the people. 1 Samuel 2:3, the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. It is truth. Proverbs 29:24, he hears cursing and reveals it. It is done. Luke 9:26, he appears in his own glory. It is truth. John 9:16, he does not keep or observe the Sabbath. It is truth. Acts 10:6, he shall tell thee, the people, what thou ought to do. It is done. Joel 2:32, he calls the remnant of his people. It is truth. Psalm 1:2, it delighteth in the law of the Lord. It is truth. Isaiah 33:8, he regards no man. It is truth. John 7:4, he himself seeketh to be known openly. It is truth. Job 21:22, he judges those that are high. It is done. Leviticus 26:10, he brings forth the old. It is done. That's the reading coming from the word of the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. And now, a statement on God's love. I made a statement the last time, and I want to clarify that statement. Question. Does the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, love you? Does he
last time I made a statement with regard to the teaching of the Gentiles regarding their what they say about God. Of course, it is ridiculous the things they say about God in their religious rhetoric and in their doctrine. Case in point, the way they teach God's love is like God is a servant to each and every individual. Many of you have heard ministers, the papacy, religious ministers, Christian ministers, speaking about God loves you. He is so concerned about you. He knows everything about you. He wants you to be happy, this and that. I mean, it's very excessive what they say about God and God's love. To be honest, even God himself cannot do all that they say God does. I mean, it's just ridiculous what they teach. As I said, like God is a servant to each and every individual. Of the millions and millions and billions of people on the earth, God is each one's servant. He's interested in each and every one. He's waiting on you, each and every one of you, million, billion of people. I mean, that's excessive. That's excessive. When the Bible speaks, and I've pointed these things out clearly, that you heard me in my reading of all things. It says, when the Lord comes, he will do this, he will do that. Those things that I read, all things are descriptive of the Lord God that the Bible talks about, exalts, upholds, and promotes. It says, this man, M-A-N, is the great tower having the designation of God, this man. So when he comes, he will do this and he will do that. And nowhere in all things, in the listing of all things, do you find the things that the Gentiles have put forth to the people concerning God and God's love. It's ridiculous, the Christian teaching. It's outrageous. It's ridiculous. It is absurd. When you know what the Bible teaches, okay? It's ridiculous and absurd and all like that, period. Period, okay? And that's been my goal from the beginning, to find out what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, cursed is the man that puts his trust in man. Are you trusting the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, who the Bible points out clearly, definitively, to be God? Do you trust the Lord God, Tommy of Heart, or do you trust your minister? The Bible says, cursed is the man that trusts in man. Now, I know that Christian ministers will, try to explain that away, but the Bible means exactly what it says. I can read. It tells the people to trust in the Lord. Now the question is, and it has been answered, who is the Lord? The Lord, according to the Authorized Version Bible, and all things which come from the Authorized Version Bible, is Tommy L. Hart. Okay? Now, question. Does the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, love you, the people? Answer. Yes, but not like the lying Christian ministers teach, okay?
but like the Bible teaches.
Yes. The Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, loves you. He loves the people.
But I'm not called to be a servant to each and every individual and to babysit, if you will, each and every, each one of the millions and billions of people on planet Earth. That's just ridiculous, okay? I've told you, the Christian ministers are liars. They are big liars. They tell whoppers. They tell whoppers. Big lies. And they play on the ignorance of you, the people. Because they don't point out to you the exact and precise things which the Bible teaches. When you look at their doctrine, which I have done, and I have pointed some things out to the people, studied my archives, Lawmaster's archives.
Okay, continuing on. The Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, loves you so much, listen, that he is willing to take a stand against the workers of iniquity. The Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, loves you enough to tell you the truth. That the lying Christian ministers do not do. They put on a facade of love. They feign love and concern. The Bible calls all of them hypocrites. And I've read the statement. It says they are all hypocrites. Speaking of the Christian ministers, they tell lies. Now, are you going to believe them or are you going to believe the Bible? You can't believe both at the same time because the teachings are too different. The teachings coming from Christianity and the teachings coming from the Bible are different as night and day. Like I said, they play on your ignorance. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up and know the truth. I have made the truth available. Yes, I do. I love you enough to take a stand against the enemies of the truth, enemies of the Authorized Version Bible, and the enemies of God. And I love you enough to tell you the truth. I'm not going to lie to you, as lying ministers do. Each and every one of them, the Bible says. I believe the Bible. Yes, the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, believes the Bible. And I know what the Bible teaches. What Bible do I use? I use the Authorized Version Bible. It is the one set forth by authority. It is commonly called King James Version. But that's the book I use. And it should be the book you use also. And you should listen to the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart, as the Bible instructs you and directs you to do so many times in the Bible, in the Authorized Version Bible. Hear the word of the Lord, of coming from. Hear the word coming from the Lord. If you are hearing a minister, you are not obeying that statement, that command. Remember, the Bible says, cursed is the man that puts his trust in man. When it comes to things pertaining to, let's say it like this, when it comes to Bible matters, the Bible says, cursed is the man that puts his trust in man. And remember, truthfully, in fact, you cannot abide by the Christian teaching
and abide by Bible teaching at the same time, as I said, because they are two different.
Now, moving on. Out of the Lord's love for you, he seeks to lead the people out of and away from their deceptive state. The Lord God, Tamiel's heart, seeks to lead you into the right way, the way of truth. The Lord God, Tamiel's heart, has sought out the right way for you. Will you join him? Will you join me? Will you receive of my love? Will you receive my word? In light of the findings, my findings, what steps have you or are you taking? What steps are you taking? What changes have you made? All right. Now, moving on. John, listen to this. Listen to this. I have spoken often saying you are deceived. You have been deceived by the Christian church, the Christian clergy, the teachings of Christianity. I ask this, from whence does the Christian church originate? Answer, the Gentiles. Question, who came up with the idea of the Christian clergy? Of course, the Gentiles. Question, who has laid down the teachings of Christianity? Answer, the Gentiles. So then, rather than repeat the three above entities, the Christian church, the Christian clergy, and the teachings of Christianity, I can say simply, the Gentiles, and the things that I will say at this time. In saying those things, you are deceived, and you have been deceived by the Gentiles. What do I mean? Answer, this is what I mean when I say you are deceived. When I say you are deceived, I mean simply you and your people have been deliberately lied to. You have been deliberately lied to by the Gentiles, alias white people, in and through their outward teachings concerning Jesus, God, and the Bible. Let me give you an example with respect to their outward teaching on the Bible. They, the Gentiles, have led you, the people, to believe the Bible. The AVB, in particular, is a religious book through and through. They, the Gentiles, have caused you to not consider or respect the fact that it, the AVB, commonly called King James Version, is a law book through and through. It is not a religious book at all. When I say you are deceived, I mean simply they, the Gentiles, the enslavers, have deliberately and persistently misinformed you and your people. They have caused you to have a certain perception of God. They have told you, they have sold you the idea that the Bible's God, the God which the Bible upholds, cannot be seen, cannot be known, cannot be a real person, when in fact the Bible speaks about, it exalts, it promotes, and it upholds a God in human form. Three, when I say you are deceived, I mean simply you and your people have been viciously misdirected. You have been viciously misdirected by the Gentiles, alias white people, the former robbers,
and enslavers of black people. For instance, your people's purview of the Bible's Jesus character. The notion that the Bible's Jesus character is a righteous one does not originate from a black person. Black people were told, they were taught, that the Bible's Jesus character is righteous. Who told them that? You may have already guessed. It was the former enslavers, the former robbers, the Gentiles, who told the black people that the Bible's Jesus character is a righteous one, when in fact the Bible's Jesus character is, in the Bible's purview, a wicked and sinful character. But the Gentiles did not stop with that one thing. They told black people that the Bible's Jesus character died for your sins, when it is clear in four books on the subject, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that the Jesus character died for his own sins. That is indisputable. That's clearly as stated in the four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Question to you. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, whose sins did the Jesus character die for? All you have to do is read those books. All you have to do is read one of them. And you don't have to read all four. All four show the same thing, that Jesus died for his own sin or sins. He died for his own sin. Okay? Neither did the Gentiles stop there. They, the robbers of your people, the Gentiles, the former slaveholders, directed your people to give their lives to the Jesus character and be saved. Now, listen carefully. To give your life to the Bible's Jesus character is tantamount to giving your life to Superman or Batman or Wonder Woman. What do they all have in common? They have this in common. They are all fictitious characters who do superhuman things. As they are, so is the Bible's Jesus character. Truly, the Gentiles have misdirected the people in their, the Gentiles, outward teachings. So, when I say you are deceived, I mean simply you and your people have been lied to, misinformed, and misdirected. Because all the things they have told you and your people about Jesus, God, and the Bible, when compared to Bible teachings on the matter, are found to be false. Nothing but blatant lies. Question, what does all this mean to you and your people? Answer, all these things mean you and your people have received from the Gentiles, the deceivers, alias white people, a vain and worthless faith in the faith that is in or concerning Christ Jesus. You and your people have believed in vain. You and your people have received from the Gentiles an unsound faith. You and your people have taken as true that which is absolute. Now, let's turn our attention to Ira 1, chapter 1, 22, and see what it says. You should know that IARA stands for Investigative Report. IARA 1, the first investigative report, is Matthew. Okay, Matthew 1:22 reads, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet." Let's stop there. Well, let's read on so you can get the connection. Verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Yes, we are revisiting this, these two statements. I've spoken on them before. Back to IR 1, chapter 1, verse 22. IR 1, 1, 22. "All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord." Spoken of. The word "of" there, what does it mean? "Which was spoken of the Lord." "Of" there means about, concerning. So the statement says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken about or concerning the Lord by the prophet," it says, going on. And then it cites, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child." Let's revisit Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14 says this. Now keep in mind, IARA 1:22 says that which was spoken concerning or about the Lord. And then it cites the virgin statement in verse 23 of Matthew 1:22 and 23. Okay. What does it say about the Lord? Because that's what it says, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken about the Lord. Isaiah 7:14 says this, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign." I have this written. Let me read this. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. I got carried away. We consider Matthew 1:22 and 23. Question: what did the speaker say about the Lord? What did the speaker in Matthew 1:22 say about the Lord? He said that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken concerning the Lord. The speaker said this about the Lord. Now we are in Isaiah 7:14. The question is, what did the speaker say about the Lord in Isaiah 7:14? So there we are. Answer: the speaker in Isaiah 7:14 said this about the Lord. He said, "The Lord himself shall give thee a sign." That is all
that is said about the Lord in Isaiah 7:14. Now follow me closely. I keep asking you this. Follow me closely. Pay attention. Pay careful attention. Take heed that you be not deceived. Question. What about the remainder of Isaiah 7:14? Who is that spoken about? Answer. The remainder of Isaiah 7:14 is spoken about a virgin. Comment. The Lord and the virgin are two distinct individuals. In Isaiah 7:14, what is said about the Lord has nothing to do with the virgin. And what is said about the virgin has nothing to do with the Lord. Let's return to Matthew 1:22. The statement, Matthew 1:22, says that it might be fulfilled. Question. What is the it that might be fulfilled? Answer. The it in Matthew 1:22 is the same as the that which was spoken about the Lord in Matthew 1:22. The it is the Lord himself shall give thee a sign. And that which was spoken about the Lord is the Lord himself shall give thee a sign. Let's turn again to Isaiah 7:14. In Isaiah 7:14, the speaker says something about that which the Lord shall do. He said, the Lord himself shall give thee a sign. Next, the speaker says something about that which a virgin shall do, which is, he said, conceive, bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel. Now listen carefully. It is incorrect to say that that which the speaker said the virgin shall do is a sign from the Lord. It is the speaker and not the Lord saying that about the virgin. If you say that the Lord spoke the virgin's statement through the speaker, then you would be adding to that which is given. We must confine ourselves to the fact that the writer set down in Isaiah 7:14 two distinct statements about two distinct individuals. That is, one, the first statement concerning the Lord, and two, the second statement concerning a virgin. The Lord himself does not give you a sign in the text of Isaiah 7:11. Neither does he give you a sign in the context of that text. Let's read Matthew 1:22 again. Got to turn back to it. Matthew 1:22 says again, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of or about the Lord by the prophet saying. Now the question, what follows Matthew 1:22? One might well say, certainly the clear statement on the Lord would follow, that is, the clear statement on the Lord in Isaiah 7:14 would follow Matthew 1:22. But in the text, in the Matthew text, that is not so. That does not happen. The clear, unambiguous, and indisputable statement about the Lord is omitted. And the different and unrelated statement on the virgin follows Matthew 1:22. Now, can you read? The investigator in Matthew 1:22 through 23 is showing straightforwardly that someone or some people have no real understanding of Isaiah 7:14. Joseph and Mary are without understanding. Let's turn again to Psalm 53. Psalm 53. Let's start at verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. Now, Romans. It asks a question. Do the workers of iniquity have no knowledge? I say, do they have any knowledge? Well, Romans 3, let's see what it says. I read these the last time. Romans 3, starting at verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. None that understandeth. Do you understand? Are you getting understanding from me? I know the lying Christian ministers do not give understanding. They give you confusion. And because you are unlearned in Bible matters, you receive the confusion. Your people receive the confusion en masse. The investigator in Matthew 1 realized that Joseph and Mary did not have proper understanding. They did not understand. Joseph and Mary are without understanding. They are members of a subculture that is without understanding. Now, let's look at Mary again. Pay close attention. These texts, Matthew 1:18-23, Luke 1:5-80, and Matthew 2:11-23, deal with and offer to us a revealing picture of Mary. The texts show us Mary has behaved, and when I say the text here, I'm speaking about those three texts that I just read to you. You know, the citations, Matthew 1:18-23, Luke 1:5-80, and Matthew 2:11-23. I'll refer to that as the text, okay, regarding Mary. That text offers to us a revealing picture of Mary. The texts show us Mary has behaved improperly and unrighteously. Mary has had two children whose father, listen closely to me, Mary has had two children whose father or fathers are unknown. The children are John and one unnamed young child. What is clear of the two children is this: Joseph is not the father of either. Yet Joseph, listen, Joseph is always nearby. He's not distant to Mary, always close. But yet the children are not his. listen carefully. Mary has behaved improperly and unrighteously. Question. What has she been doing, and what is Joseph's role? The answer is in the details of the text. Mary's childbearing is evidence she has been having sexual relations with one or more men. The IRA shows Mary having had two illegitimate children. Joseph is not the father of her first two mentioned children, but he has always been nearby. He's always in close proximity to Mary. Listen carefully. Bear in mind that Mary's and Joseph's actions are always under the cover of darkness at night. Bear in mind also that if a woman has children, human beings, that means she has definitely and unequivocally been with a man or some men. Joseph's association with Mary is that of a pimp. Joseph is Mary's pimp. Joseph with Mary has been operating a brothel. Mary is a profligate person. Now, let's not run past that word profligate. Its meaning will describe Mary and her conduct precisely. The term profligate will also lead us to other terms descriptive of Mary. As we do this, keep in mind the whole context which has led to this inevitable and definitive conclusion. The text mentions four people by name. They are Mary, Joseph, Elizabeth, and Zacharias. I repeat the text. Matthew 1, 18 through 23, Luke 1, 5 through 80, and Matthew 2, 11 through 23. Now, the definition of profligate. Profligate, shamefully immoral or debauched. Utterly and shamelessly immoral or dissipated. Listen, thoroughly dissolute. What does dissipated mean? It means, and let me say this. I'm going faster than what I intended to. Mary. Mary's conduct under the term profligate. Shamefully immoral or debauched. Mary is utterly and shamelessly immoral or dissipated. Mary is thoroughly dissolute, according to the IR, the investigative report. Now, dissipated means indulging in or characterized by excessive devotion to pleasure, intemperate, dissolute. Dissolute means indifferent to moral restraints, given to immoral or improper conduct. Licentious, dissipated. Now, let's put it together. Mary's conduct is shamefully immoral
it is debauched. According to the IR and the text that I showed you, she is utterly and shamelessly immoral or dissipated. She is thoroughly dissolute. She is indifferent to moral restraints. She is given to immoral or improper conduct. That's Mary. That is the picture the IR gives of Mary. Mm-hmm. Now, the IR has shown the Lord Tommy O'Hart, and I, the Lord, have shown you, the people, Joseph's and Mary's line of work. We have ascertained Zechariah's and Elizabeth's involvement. There is, with regard to Mary and Joseph and Zechariah and Elizabeth, there are deceit and lies. There is conspiracy and cover-up. With respect to Mary's pregnancy with John and the birth of John, we have learned that Mary and Joseph, along with Zechariah and Elizabeth, conspired to, one, hide a pregnancy. Two, they conspired to feign a pregnancy. Three, they conspired to hide the birth of a child. Four, they conspired to feign the birth of a child. Five, they conspired to cover their actions. Now, I want to read these statements. First, Proverbs 2:10 through 12. Proverbs 2:10 through 12. When wisdom enters into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Think about Joseph. Think about Mary. From the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Think about Joseph and Mary, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Listen, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flatters with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Now, the five things that I read with regard to the, or respect to the conspiracy and cover-up, kind of lost my thought there. Okay, so let's continue. Oh, that's not all of Mary's actions and doings. Those are just the things involving, you know, the pregnancy of John, the birth of John and Mary. Those five things. Which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God, her house. Listen. Inclines to death, and her paths to the dead. None that go to her return again, neither take they hold of the path of life. Next statement. Okay, 12 through 16, I read them. And verse 19, I read it too. Okay, now, Proverbs 5, 1 through 5. I never would have thought that a study on Mary would lead me to such verses or statements as these. Proverbs 5, 1 through 5, and verse 20. My son, attend to my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end, bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Verse 20. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Remember Joseph's and Mary's line of work. No wonder fathers of two of her children are unknown and unnamed. And the last statement here, Proverbs 7, 1 through 23. I may not read that full statement. Proverbs 7. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Are you keeping the law of Moses, the law of the Lord God and the people? The law concerning the Lord God, Tommy O'Hart, and the people. Bind them upon thy finger. Skip down. Verse 5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flatters with the words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and I beheld among the simple ones. I discern among the youths a young man void of understanding. Think of Joseph's and Mary's line of work. Think of Joseph's work. What he brought to the table, if you will. How he made this thing to work. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went away to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot. The word harlot, that's it. Think of Mary, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, down in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said to him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows, therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Think of the work of a pimp, what a pimp does. Okay, all you have to do is look it up in the dictionary, look it up online. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, alloys, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the goodman is not at home. Remember, I said Joseph was always nearby. We were always within close proximity. Always close. Always. That's enough of reading that. Mary, quite contrary. How does your garden grow? Join me next time.